Sign up to The Economist for in-depth curated expert analysis of world events and topics ranging from business and culture to science and technology. You'll get the weekly digital edition, online-only articles, curated newsletters on politics, the markets, science, culture and China, and full access to The Economist Podcast Plus. The Economist is independent journalism for independent thinking. Go to economist.com and get your first month free.
This is Hammond.
And Jessica.
And you're listening to the Friendly Atheist Podcast. If you like what you're listening to and you feel really good after Thanksgiving, go to patreon.com/friendlyatheistpodcast. Chip in whatever you want. Go to iTunes. Give us all the stars. Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
Well, Hammond, I am slightly hungover.
Excellent.
But I am here. Uh-huh. I am ready to talk about the news. You empowered me with McDonald's breakfast,
the
which
things I do for you.
Pathetically text him. It's Friday morning. A very dear friend of mine from college came in from the city last night, and I took today off because Hammond, when you live in the suburbs and you have friends,
go on.
I know this is not a subject that's familiar to you. It's like a whole fucking thing to see them now. Like, and so we have been scheduling this this hang sesh for like 3 months.
But it worked.
We had very, very, very good times. We watched A Christmas Prince. It is a Netflix, don't blink at me. It's like a Netflix Hallmarky kind of movie. It was very good. All the actors were extremely talented and nobody had a weird face. Anyway, it was very fun. I'm paying for it today.
Excellent.
Hammond, thank you for the breakfast.
You're welcome.
I owe you this and everything.
The things I do.
How are you?
Good. I want to talk about one
Not
thing
so much
that
with
I did.
The small talk, huh?
No. I was going to say there was one thing I did over break that I do want to talk about, but we'll get to it later.
Oh, yeah.
I went to Texas to visit family, as I was mentioning.
This podcast
right before
is really into
recording.
Texas lately. Huh?
I know, but it was good. Okay, we have to talk about this guy because we were off last week.
Yes.
So it's been 2 weeks since I've seen you and we've
like
talked about
stuff. It
feels
like years since we've recorded.
Let's talk about this missionary because I wanted to talk about this last week. We didn't record. And the brief story is this guy named John Allen Chow. He's a Christian missionary. He went to an island.
He's American.
He's an American. He went to North Sentinel Island, which is just off of India's coast or something. And I mean, it's off of there.
It's in the Indian Ocean.
Yeah. Like no one goes there for a reason. There's a tribe that is isolated and we know about them, but like tens of thousands of them who live there.
I don't think it's even that many.
Uncontacted by human people. Or
yeah, modern.
We
the
stay
rest
away.
Of the world.
Yeah. They're disconnected from the rest of the world. The Indian government says, we'll let you be. Mm-hmm. We're not going to do anything. But like, when they have a law that says no one can contact you or get on your island or whatever. That's how we keep the peace. And this missionary guy, John Allen Chow, decided, I'm going to spread Jesus to them.
So I think it's important to denote that we do not go to that island, not only because they are a culture that's like untouched by modernity, but I don't know if you remember a gentleman named Christopher Columbus.
Who?
He came here to India, the United States, what's now the United States. And then a bunch of fucking people died of smallpox because diseases are a thing. So if you're like an uncontacted culture in somebody
who
new
has
comes
no
in,
natural immunity to any diseases.
So it's not
or
just
to our diseases.
Yeah, it's not just a like respect thing. It is a safety thing.
Right.
So I just want to make sure like that is very clearly stated because it's not just he's an asshole, but like fuck him. Go ahead.
So he decided to go to this tribe anyway. And then next thing you know, he's shot by arrows and he dies. And that's why this is a story. So there's a bunch of we don't need to rehash the actual story itself. What
Are
I want to talk
sure?
about
because I do have some journal entries.
Oh, I have some other stuff.
Okay.
What I really wanted to get to is the debate that seems to be happening now is the nature of missions and whether this guy, you know, what did he do in preparation for this? Was he prepared for it properly? And, you know, it's easy to say what he did was disrespectful and stupid. And also, who the fuck wants to hear about Jesus? And anyway. So maybe I feel bad that he died for his family, but also he kind of deserved it.
Yeah.
Versus he's a Christian martyr, which is the way I know some Christians want to spin this story.
Yeah, it's really... So just from me being on online and stuff like that, it seems like 90% of the reaction has been like, yeah, that's what happens, my dude. Like, you...
what did you think
you
was going
to
happen?
You go to a place where they say they're going to shoot people. Yeah, you like... Sorry to victim blame, but...
You're an outsider who's screaming about Jesus in English.
In English.
to a tribe whose language you don't know.
So I feel like the reaction has largely been like, yeah, that's how... Yeah, that's what happens when you make extremely poor decisions.
There's been some talk of like, I guess 50-some years ago, there was a group of people that went to an uncontacted tribe in Ecuador. They died. Also, there's been books written about them. I think a movie made about them. And later on... The missionaries' wives actually got in touch with the tribe and did convert the people. So it's a lovely story about, you know, this is what you sacrifice as a mission.
That's a bad story.
It is a bad story. But they were one of the things that came up in like Christian media is like, is this guy trying to pull? Was he inspired by those people? Like, he must have known this was a death trap when he was going
there.
It's
very clear from what I understand. Like, I mean, how does he even know about this group?
Well, okay, so according to Ed Stetzer, who writes a Christianity Today, he's affiliated with Wheaton College, Christian Evangelical School. He pointed out, and this is a few things. You mentioned the quarantine, the vaccination, the immunity issue, the disease issue. According to the mission group called All Nations, mm-hmm. which is the mission group that he was working with, mm-hmm. John Allen Chau had received multiple vaccinations and intentionally quarantined himself for many days prior to his trip to the island. Now, would that be enough to ward off any potential diseases he would give to them? I don't know. But he was aware
because he's
of it.
He quarantined himself. He's the one who needs to be... Like, he's the threat.
He is
it's not
the threat.
Like...
I don't know if
idiot.
The vaccinations were going to... Yeah, right, exactly. I don't know if he was doing anything to prevent himself from affecting them. But it's not like he was unaware of what he was stepping into. That's the point
the
I want to make.
He did... Yeah, he prepared.
He knew where he was going. He knew how they reacted to outsiders. And he's like, screw that. I'm going to go anyway because... I'm going to be the guy that introduces them to Jesus.
Well, so according to Mary Ho, who's the leader of All Nations, he's been preparing. So he was 27. He's been preparing for it since he was 18. And even before he went to All Nations, which is in Kansas City, Missouri, he was trained as a wilderness EMT. He was trained in linguistics and cultural anthropology. Like, this was this guy's goal. This wasn't on a whim, which for me makes it kind of worse because they had like almost 10 years to talk him out of this extremely bad idea and dangerous idea and irresponsible idea. So according to his journal, he hired some fishermen to get him near the island, mm-hmm. and then he like kayaked in.
The fishermen are like, dude, don't do it. Yeah. But if you're paying
but
us, we'll
you
take
give me
you.
Money? You bet. he said, according to his journal, he was kayaking in and yelled, "My name is John. I love you. And Jesus loves you. Jesus Christ gave me the authority to come to you."
Just to be clear, if he said that to people who speak English, I would look at him like the fuck.
I would shoot him with an arrow.
If I had an arrow. Right, exactly.
If I knew how to do such things.
But he's going to people who don't even speak the language. So all they see is crazy man who's not one of us is screaming.
Right.
And he's holding something in his hand.
Yeah. It's just very.
But the focus there is he totally prepared for this. This was his life's journey to go here.
And no,
which makes me feel even less almost sympathetic.
It wasn't
for
a
what
whim.
Happened to
it
him.
Wasn't a he heard of this thing and decided on a whim to go. Like he knew what he was getting into. He knew it was deeply inappropriate to go to this island.
And the fact that he was part of a missionary organization means no one in his life circle, all of whom apparently knew about his mm-hmm. dream here, was like, this is a bad idea. Everyone's like, yes, you should take Jesus to this tribe. Do what you need to do to prepare for it. But overall, your goal is not a bad one because that's the Great Commission of
right.
Christianity. We got to spread it.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, his last journal entry, I mean, it's a sad story because this guy's life was fucking wasted on nothing. You know, like, mm-hmm. even if he got what he went for, converted, which, like, I understand is his, like, big goal thing.
Of course.
But even if he did, like, the risk that he took, not only to himself, but to these people, is unconscionable.
There is a famous story where, I'm going to paraphrase it, I'm going to butcher it when I do it, but the story is, the question for Christians is, if someone has not heard of Jesus, would they go to hell for not accepting Jesus as a divine figure? And the answer is like, no. If you're like an aborted fetus, or you're a baby who dies and you never had a chance to learn about Jesus, God isn't going to punish you for that. And so let's assume this uncontacted tribe never heard about Christianity or Jesus. Mm-hmm. This guy's going to go there to preach it to them. And basically, there's a method of spinning this to say, they were fine. They weren't going to go to hell.
But now they know.
But now they know. So now he basically sentenced them to hell if they didn't accept what he was selling. So
yeah.
You would, if you wanted to save their souls, you would have been better off staying away.
Just stay the fuck away. Yeah, his last journal entry is, and it's sad. You guys might think I'm crazy and all this, but I think it's worth it to declare Jesus to these people. Please do not be angry at them or if God, if I get killed. Like he was very much aware of the risk. It's like, it's a really tragic story.
Here's a question I haven't been able to answer for myself.
Okay.
Who gets the blame for what happened to this guy? Yes, himself, because he chose to do this. But I wonder who bears any degree of responsibility? Maybe not the bulk of it, but who bears degree of responsibility for what happened to this guy? Is it the people on the island who shot him?
Yeah.
I don't know, because this is how they react, and we know this is how they react. Mm-hmm. So this is why the restrictions have been set in place.
Right.
You stay on your island, India says, we won't allow anyone to get there. And they actually said, like, if they're not going to prosecute this tribe, what are they going to do?
Yeah.
Like, you're on your own, but we won't bother you. And that's it. You're a lawless nation of your own, of sorts. So I don't know. I don't know that you can blame them for seeing an intruder and taking action. And by the way, they sent him a warning shot. When John Chow went on his first day to visit this tribe or something, someone on the island actually, this is from the diary, I think from one of the fishermen, when Mr. Chow tried to hand over fish and a bundle of gifts, a boy shot an arrow, quote, directly into my Bible, which I was holding.
Whoa!
Then he retreated, and then he came back the next day, and that's when he died. But, like, he got a warning shot, literally.
Yeah.
And he still went back. But, okay, so I don't know that you blame the tribe, necessarily. Do you blame the mission, the organization he was involved with, for clearly knowing he was doing this and setting him up? In the sense, or do you blame Christianity for telling this guy, listen, it is your responsibility to God to go to people who haven't heard of Jesus and spread Jesus to them, because that's what you're called to do. I mean, he was brainwashed into thinking what he was doing was a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if Christianity or anyone who is a Christian and thinks this missions are a good idea are to blame for this too.
I think there is plenty of blame to go around, but the bulk of it has to lie on this man's shoulders. Like, when you're told in no uncertain terms that these people are not to be contacted, you are not to go there, it is a dangerous situation. It's like, I don't want to be... Because, like, these people did murder somebody, but it's not like...
But they said, we're going to murder you in no uncertain terms.
Right.
Like, you come to us... We'll do this. They did it, I guess, to a couple people several decades ago.
Uh-huh.
Like, people are aware of this story. If you hear about Sentinelese, if you hear about them, like the few things written on Wikipedia about them, is that, hey, a couple decades ago, a couple people went to go visit them to try to understand them and try to reach out to them, and they were killed.
Yeah.
Like, we know that's what they do, and yet this guy went anyway. And everyone knew he was going to do it. And nobody said, don't, or at least they didn't convince him.
Like, we don't know what the conversations were like. Maybe everybody was like, no, this is a great idea. This is God's calling for you. Maybe they were all like, hey, dude, maybe don't.
Yeah.
But I don't, it really is it's a waste of a human life. It is putting a people in danger who deserve to be left alone. It's all garbage.
His family, the last image on Instagram is a picture from his family. They posted it on his Instagram account, just kind of a letter saying, we heard an unconfirmed report that he was killed. This is several days ago. But they said, you know, he loved God, life, helping those in need, had nothing for love but love for the Sentinelese people. We forgive those reportedly responsible for his death. They weren't asking for it, but all right. We also asked for the release of the friends he had in the nearby islands. He ventured out on his own free will, and his local contacts, the fishermen, need not be persecuted for his own actions, blah, 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 his family. All right. I mean, good.
Yeah.
Don't blame the fishermen for doing what they were given money to do for this guy. But it raises the question of just mission trips in general, because the whole idea is, you know, we're the Christians. In a lot of cases, it's we're the white Americans. Let's go to the foreign places.
Right.
And, you know, them and their silly religions. Let's tell them about our religion because we're superior.
Better. It's a good one.
The whole premise of mission trips. And at the same time, I have heard from, I think Penn Jillette famously said this, like, if you think I'm going to hell because I don't accept Christ, I would actually be surprised if you're not trying to convince me. If we're close and we're friends and, like, you're not trying to evangelize to me all the time, like, how little do you care about me if you genuinely believe this? Maybe there's some truth, like, this guy had a dream, he lived it out, he died doing what he wanted to do. All right, I mean, I'm glad you didn't drag anyone else into this.
Right.
As long as it's just you, like, it's the same feeling I almost have when I see, like, here's a skydiver who did it, or someone who was climbing a mountain without any protection.
Uh-huh.
It's like, dude, if you're dumb enough to take that risk because this is what you love to do, and then you die doing that thing you love, I mean, I'm sorry for everyone who cared about you, but, like, you knew what you were doing.
You knew the risks.
So, all right.
First of all, I've been skydiving. I do not appreciate you wishing death upon me. That was pretty
rude. This is why I would never skydive.
Rude.
This is why I went wall climbing over the Thanksgiving to some
place. Wow, that's very athletic of you, Hammond.
It was not my choice. I was dragged into it. So, of course, I went on, like, the easiest, like, all right, look, I went up a few feet. I'm good. The baby's, like, climbing up way taller than me. But I'm like, I could totally see myself falling, even with all the help that the colored pegs are giving me. And I would get hurt, and it's totally my fault,
because
I'm dumb enough to think, I could probably do this.
You did something you are deeply unequipped for.
Yeah.
Wait, were you harnessed up, or were you just bouldering?
No, it was just bouldering, no protection or anything, except there were mats on the ground.
Sure. Wow, Hammett.
So I didn't fall.
Were you wearing, like, gym shorts?
I literally went as I'm dressed to you today. No one told me we were going rock climbing. They're just like, hey, we're going now.
All right. Hammond.
Meanwhile, again, the baby's just like the 3-year-old just climbing up the walls without, like...
She's much braver than you.
Yeah, and doesn't even realize there's protection on the ground.
Yeah.
Just looking around half a foot off the ground like, no one's going to save me now. I must just go up and over the wall.
There's only one thing to do. Go higher.
But yeah, so anyway... This dude, what is he doing? I don't know. But as much as I want to feel empathy, like, and some sympathy for his family and for everyone in this guy's life circle, I just find it hard to do so. And not because as much as I thought about he's going to bring diseases to this island, and he's going there without knowing their language. There is rebuttal saying, no, he studied what he could know about their language. He did try to medicate himself in a way that he wouldn't be physically harmful to them. Whatever. He took what he thought were precautions, but he still did the stupid thing.
Yeah.
Again, it's like skydiving. I made sure I was strapped in. Yeah, but ultimately, if something went wrong, like, you kind of knew this was going to be a risk.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you could take your precautions, but ultimately you made this decision to do this thing that everyone knew would have been a bad idea. All right.
Yeah. It's just a sad story. There's no there's no heroes here. Let me see. What do I have today, Hammond?
What do you have?
Not too much. I really wanted to be asleep instead of doing research for this stupid show.
Oh, don't worry. I got you covered.
Oh, okay. Wait. I have one. So, Sarah sent this to us.
Yes, Sarah.
Thank you, Sarah. So, Celine Dion.
Go on.
Canadian songstress.
This is where I get all my Celine Dion news.
Yeah. That's why people come to the show. Yes. I give the people what they want. She has a new clothing line, because I guess that's where the money is now.
Okay.
And it is, it's gender neutral, which is cool. That's great. Apparently, this commercial, and I didn't watch the commercial, but she is running from authorities in a hospital, and then she changes the clothes. She's like in a nursery. She changes the clothes of the baby from like their pink and blue to black and white outfits, yeah. Which like I'm pro general neutral clothing. To me, like putting babies in black is fucking hysterical. Like that's just so weird.
This video.
Did you watch the video?
I watched the video and the pictures of the babies. Like here's the thing about it. If you go to her website, her company, by the way, is named Celine Nunu. It's the dumbest possible name.
Celine. Oh my God. I read it and in my head, I thought just Cthulhu, but.
That's not far out.
Celine Nunu.
But if you go to the website, all of the pictures, all of the models for all of the clothing, like there must be a rule in place. Don't smile. Don't show joy.
Oh, yeah.
Like gender neutral and apparently emotionally neutral. And just stare into the camera. And that's what these babies are doing. They're just looking up like, who's this crazy woman putting clothes on us? Which is
a natural state of babies.
But the babies just look like someone just changed us and we don't know what the hell's going on. And she acts like she saved the world.
Yeah. So, the thing is, it's great in theory, weird in execution. It's fine.
I mean, it could be worse. It could be goop. But like the sleeve right. version.
But turns out people are not like into this, particularly our Catholic friends. Mm-hmm. A gentleman named Monsignor John Essef, he's a priest. He has 65 years of experience and he is an exorcist.
As one does. All right.
He says that, quote, this gender thing is demonic. Mm-hmm. He said, this is my favorite thing. I don't even know how many genders there's supposed to be now, but there are only two that God made. Like, I love people's, like, feigning confusion of, like, what? How many genders are there? It's like, do you have, like, a board you're keeping tally on? Is this a big concern? Is this keeping you up at night?
I know people make fun of, like, Facebook has all these options. It's like, all right, just pick yours, and now it doesn't affect you anymore. You're done now.
Just move on with your life.
You don't have to understand it. You don't have to like pick something that you don't want to pick.
Yeah.
Just, it's not affecting you.
He believes that this clothing line is a part of a demonic dimension. Quote, the devil is going after children by confusing gender. To say there's no difference in gender is satanic.
Yes. Very good.
Thank you.
The funny thing is like, it's not that long ago that all clothing for babies, especially, was gender neutral. It's only later that we started doing the blue and pink thing. Like, that's a recent innovation.
Yeah, it was, around World War II, like, turn of the century, because pink used to be a masculine color.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Like, I don't even know, but they used to just say, like, here's your baby clothes. This is before the baby's born. Like, just put them in this.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's fine, because they all wear the same thing anyway. Like,
did you know genders of your human children before they were born?
Yes.
Okay.
We asked the doctor, like, all right, what's the baby? Tell us.
What flavor?
Yeah.
I went to the sidebar. If I had a kid, I was always like, I definitely want to know the gender. Mm-hmm. And then a couple friends of mine had a kid and they didn't. And I went to their baby shower and I was like, oh no, I'm definitely going to do this because everything was just like neutral. I feel like if I was having a boy and
everyone's... You need a color theme. You need to play into the stereotypes.
I really get like icked out with like little baby boys and like lady killer kind of thing. Mama's little stud muffin. It's like, maybe we don't need to sexualize babies. But let's just put them in like a yellow onesie for a couple of years and then just like sort of see where that takes us.
Yeah.
Anyway, my baby's going to wear like gray all the time. Yeah, it really fit.
And never smile. Apparently Celine Dion has her way.
Somebody said, what's with the symbolism? This is a comment. From now on, I will be turning her music Celine D-off, which is pretty funny. I like it a lot. People thought it was a New World Order thing.
Of course. Yeah, this is Illuminati gear.
Mm-hmm. Pentagrams, black magic. There's just a lot going on. It's a fucking delightful story.
You realize the only thing these clothes are good for is that your baby's going to spit up on them. And they'll be a different color anyway by the time you're done with it.
You're like, so romantic about kids.
It won't matter.
Yeah, it's just This is the kind of story I like. Nobody died. Nobody put a culture at risk. It's just some Christians losing their fucking mind over nothing. This is the kind of drama I live for.
That's good. That's good.
You
Here's,
go.
All right. Here's in Kansas, so you know where this is going. They have a...
It's flat.
They passed some resolution or rule or something where
it's
they
said... It's a
boring
state to drive through on the way to Colorado.
It was like a fetal personhood amendment.
Oh, Christ.
Right?
On
as
a
soon as the
cross.
Baby is conceived... This thing, like, gets rights and responsibilities as human
Pays
adults.
Taxes.
Yeah, right.
Give it a gun.
So here's the thing.
Give that fetus one gun.
Partial side tangent for a second. Guy named Jordan Ross. He was 19 a couple of years ago. He went to a party. He allegedly raped a 15-year-old girl.
Cool, Jordan.
He's
cool move.
Currently on trial for that incident. Fine. Like, they're gonna rule on what he did to her. Now, here's the thing. The age of consent in Kansas is 16.
Yep.
She was 15. And because she was underage, there's an additional set of charges and penalties that could be imposed on him. And this guy's defense attorney is saying, well, we're in Kansas. And if the age of if you're a person when you're conceived, this girl wasn't 15. She was actually 15 and 9 months older than that. Making her 16, therefore, you shouldn't charge him with this thing because she was of age. Charge him for the other stuff. We'll talk about that. But let's use this date of conception rule to get away from child rape and just make it regular rape charges.
Wow. You know, there's a lot to unpack there, haven't it?
Yeah.
But instead...
Uh-huh.
Can we never talk about this again? This is the dumbest fucking thing you've ever brought
to
this
welcome.
Show.
Now, there's no good news in this, but here's the kind of good news in this. No one was buying this line of argument.
The judge like, hey, dude, you're a literal idiot.
Well,
I'm taking your bar away. Is that how you...
As tempting as it is to say
how you
this
someone?
Argument's like bizarro, like creepy, and stop doing that. You need a legal argument for why he's wrong. And the prosecutor in this case actually said the life begins at conception policy. That applies to like a public health code thing. It doesn't apply to criminal law. We can't use it here. And on that basis, the judge is like, yeah, you don't get to use that motion. So they got rid of it. They didn't accept it on legal grounds, but not just because what the hell are you trying to do here? That's a crazy argument. But it also kind of shows how crazy, like, if you're going to be crazy enough to say life begins at conception and, like, a day-old fertilized egg
right.
is when you're actually a person, like, this is kind
yeah,
of the
that's wild.
Rabbit hole that you're going to go
and
down.
And the other thing is, I think I knew this, but a friend of mine is pregnant, and I was reintroduced to this fun fact. Did you know that they count pregnancy from the date of your last period?
Yeah.
That's not how pregnancy works, doctors. What are you guys doing?
That's why you don't know that you're pregnant. And when you do find out you're pregnant, it's like, well, it's been going on. When was your last period? That's how the baby's age is now.
That's
at
not
least
how
in your...
pregnancy works. What do you
hey, want
medicine,
from the doctors?
What the fuck
what do
are
you want
doing? If somebody can give me a good reason, I would genuinely like to know. There must be, because like obviously
they don't know the date of like actual conception.
Well, they could probably fucking approximate it closer than your last period. They know for goddamn well sure that it's not. What about like 2 weeks after when you're ovulating? Like what the fuck? It's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my entire fucking life.
As a man,
dumber
I'm just
than
gonna stay out of this one.
Yeah, you know what? Smart.
Thank
That's
you.
Just smart.
Thank you. Here's another story I wanted to bring up. We always. Not joke about like thoughts and prayers. Like, don't send thoughts and prayers after a tragedy. You're not helping. Do something useful. If there was a hurricane, send money to a good cause.
Uh-huh.
If there was a school shooting, go fight for, you know, gun safety measures.
Uh-huh.
Fine. But praying ain't helping anybody. A new study that has not been published, but it just went up on one of those like pre-publication websites.
Sure.
This is from Linda Thunstrom.
You've got
at
all
the
advanced science
oh,
news.
Yeah. At the University of Wyoming.
Uh-huh.
Basically, she was trying to measure what sending thoughts and prayer does in the case of a tragedy. So here's what her experiment was. She basically said, this is shortly after Hurricane Harvey hit Texas.
Okay.
She did this. She told participants, who were a mix of religious and non-religious people, she basically said, we're going to give you $5. You can give any amount of this you want to the Red Cross. Let's assume just the Red Cross is totally fine in everything it does. Here's $5. You can give it to the Red Cross. but whatever you don't give to the Red Cross, you get to keep for yourself. And she wanted to see how much everybody would give. What she found is that the average donation, $1.87.
What?
Yeah, that was it. Religious people gave slightly more than atheist agnostics, which is a separate issue, and we could talk about that
hey
another
guys,
time.
Hey, guys, get your shit together for together, fucking atheists. Once. It's
$5. It was $1.98 compared to $1.75 religious versus okay. non-religious. Okay, anyway, average donation, $1.87. But then she ran the second part of the experiment, which was only for religious people, and she asked everyone to pray for the hurricane victims.
Uh-huh.
Then she gave them the $5 and told them to do this.
Oh.
This time, average donation, $1.23.
Whoa.
Then she did, and we'll talk about that, but then she did a third one where she told everybody, just think, send your thoughts, you know, think about the victims of this tragedy.
Uh-huh.
Here's $5. What are you going to do with it? Religious people still gave more than non-religious people, but this time it was $2.36 compared to $1.94, so more than they gave when they were just without any prompting.
Thoughts are available, are valuable.
Yes.
Prayers are useless.
Yes.
Atheists give money. What are you
yes.
doing?
And atheists don't give as much as religious, which is not news. That is actually something we
right.
know. Religious people have a habit of giving. They know how to do it. That's a good thing. We should strive to be more like that. But here's the big takeaway from this. Religious people who offered prayer gave significantly less than atheists who basically just gave thoughts or nothing.
That totally makes sense.
So giving prayers in a tragedy almost makes it... She didn't say this because you can't prove this, but one theory is if you think God's going to take care of stuff, maybe you feel like you don't have to do as much.
I would argue, yes, but I would phrase it as if you prayed, that feels like an action.
Yeah.
As opposed to like thinking about it, doesn't.
Sure.
So like they think a prayer is, I guess, tangible is the word.
Mm-hmm.
That's very interesting and not that surprising.
Like the argument I've heard from atheists is obviously if you send thoughts and prayers, you're right. It's intangible. Do something useful.
Right.
Some Christians especially have responded by saying, look, when we pray, it's kind of allowing us to focus on the victims and it spurs our our interest and our ability to do more with that.
Uh-huh.
That's step one of a several-step process. That's kind of the argument for thoughts and prayers.
Right.
It's not a substitute. And what this is saying is exactly the opposite. It's saying, no, some people kind of think it's a substitute for doing actual stuff. Again, it's not published in a peer-reviewed anything. It's a pre-publication. Take issue with the methodology. But interesting.
It's interesting.
Interesting story. Here's another one coming from our good friend, Jason Rapert. Rapert?
Rapert.
Arkansas state senator, the guy who put the Ten Commandments outside the Arkansas state capitol.
I don't remember if we
capitol.
Read this on the internet, but you're on the internet, on the show, but somebody made fun of you because you say repair and it's Rapert.
It's Colbert. Like, that's what I'm thinking
like,
of. It's
you
Rapert.
Say it the way a human person with understandings of linguistics say it, but it's Rapert.
But it's Rapert. Okay, so here's what he did. He got reelected in November, frustratingly, but he also lives in a very red area, so not surprisingly. He just sent an email to literally every state legislator in the country.
Cool.
And congressperson, but there's a lot of state legislators, saying he wants them all to join a new group he's forming.
Uh-huh.
It's called the National Association of Christian Lawmakers. Because you know what we don't have in this country enough of? Like Christians in the government. And his goal, he's going to launch this in 2019.
That's alarmingly close to the NAACP.
National Association of Christian Lawmakers, yeah. He says his goal is to address legislative issues from a Judeo-Christian worldview. But I want to read some of the things he said in this email. The concept is we would debate and discuss issues and formulate model statutes, ordinances, and resolutions based upon a biblical worldview, blah, blah, blah. And then he's like, I know what I'm talking about because I've done this.
Yeah, I'm living that good Christian life.
He's like, currently, I am the only known state legislator to actively have a federal lawsuit filed directly against them by the American Atheists, which is for his Ten Commandments monument.
Mm-hmm.
He says, I have also been targeted by the Satanic Temple, American Humanists, that American Human Association, the Freedom From Religion Foundation, and Planned Parenthood over the years. I know what it is to fight for what is right, and I want to ensure that other conservative Christian leaders are properly equipped to withstand the harassment tactics of the extreme left. And by extreme left, he means anyone who cares about church-state separation. Here's the thing. You don't want to take legislative advice from a guy whose biggest legislative accomplishment is illegal.
Yeah.
Like, he put up the Ten Commandments. They're suing the Satanic Temple, American Atheist. They're suing in order to take it down because it's illegal, because it's a standalone Christian monument. No right. one's ever hidden the idea that it's a Christian monument. There's no other monuments around it yeah. to say it's part of a whole lawmaking, like, display. It's going to be taken down.
The thing is, there's a bizarro universe in which this would be a really good thing, because if they were genuinely trying to create laws by Christian values, it would be a lot of feeding the homeless.
Wouldn't
and,
you think? Yeah.
And are they... So what's their eradicating of homelessness initiative, Hemant?
Yeah, there
I
is,
assume it's right there in the, yeah, in the notes.
It's right here. There's nothing in his email about helping the poor
oh.
or stopping mass shootings and the suffering associated oh. with it. Nothing about let's help religious freedom by helping Muslims or
uh-huh.
Jews or atheists.
Wow, that's really
the two
shocked.
Issues he highlighted in his email
Wait,
about things
can I guess,
we need
can
to
I guess,
address.
Can I
Please
guess, can
guess.
I guess. Prayer in school.
No.
Ooh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Not to say he didn't mention it, but I don't think he did.
Nativity scenes on city property.
Not yet, but I'm sure that's
okay.
One of
what,
them.
All right, what the fuck is the
it's
problem?
It's abortion
then?
To
oh,
ban
Christ.
It, of course, and bizarrely to me, same-sex marriage because he wants to undo what the Supreme Court said. Again, these are. That's not exactly gonna happen, even
yeah,
with a conservative court these days.
I'm not sure that he's fighting the good fight on that one, Hemant.
And then, by the way, in case you're on the fence about joining his group,
uh-huh.
he added that there's another reason you gotta take a stand for Judeo-Christian values.
Tell me.
Newsweek recently reported on the recent threat of declining Christianity and the rise of the occult in our nation,
oh.
with this warning, number of witches rises dramatically.
It's true, though.
Yeah.
Oh, I
so
meant
witches,
to bring that today.
The witches are coming, which is why you got to join his Christian group.
Yeah. And you know what? He's not wrong.
He sent this to every state legislature, legislator everywhere. So anyway.
That's wild.
One other congressional issue while we're at it. One of the women who got elected in the blue wave that just happened is Ilhan Omar, uh-huh. a Minnesota representative. She is Muslim. She wears a headscarf.
Uh-huh.
And here's the thing. In Congress, there's
oh,
a ban
no, headwear.
On headwear. Yeah, there's actually, it's called like a hat ban. It's been in place since 1837 because people like were rogue by wearing their fancy hats in Congress.
Well, hats used to be, I listened to a podcast called The Dollop, and from that I learned in American history, people were really fucking into hats.
Okay.
There were like riots when people took their hats off in public. I don't understand it, but we've really
but
swung
happened.
The other way.
So yeah, so they have this rule since 1837, no hats allowed. And the truth is, in recent years, it really hasn't been enforced
uh-huh.
per se. Like, I think they asked Paul Ryan about it. This time around, after she got elected, he's like, no, we're not going to hold that against her.
Paul Ryan's like wearing a trucker cap. No, we're cool, dude.
Well, here's the thing. So Nancy Pelosi has made some news in the past couple weeks by saying, no, we're going to pass some rule to overturn that ban. And I think, I don't know if they've actually passed it, but she said, we're going to allow if you're Jewish or Muslim and you're wearing a head covering,
mm-hmm.
It's fine.
Yeah.
And that's good. That's what they should do. Here's the question I have, though. Like, their rule was very specific about Jews and Muslims being allowed to wear the headgear. That's
mm-hmm.
fine. Sikhs also wear
yeah,
like
I was
a turban,
say.
But there are none in Congress, so it doesn't apply. But like they didn't mention them. What if you just want to wear a hat? What if you're a Pastafarian? I know it's a weird long shot, but like what if you did? What if you were part of a small religion that no one understands?
Mm-hmm.
What, regardless of your thoughts about it, could you get away with wearing like the strainer on your head?
I mean,
why is Islam allowed and other religions not part of this list? That's where I'm going with this.
Here's what I will say. It's 2018. Like, our hats are our biggest problem in Congress. Is that the thing we're all trying to tackle? Can we just say, like, where whatever the fuck you want, just show up and don't vote like a dick for once in your life.
That's where I'm going with this. That's what the rule should be. It's not, though. And here's the other thing. There is a Democratic state, a Democratic representative who's been in office for many years, since 2010, Frederica Wilson of Florida, who famously wears colorful hats everywhere she goes, uh-huh, when she's like on the campaign trail, when she's in her district. Like, she's known for wearing the hats,
right,
but she can't wear them in Congress. Huh. And in 2010 or 2012, she actually tried to get that rule overturned. She said, and I quote, "Hats are what I wear. People get excited when they see the hats. Once you get accustomed to it, it's just me." And she said, some people wear wigs or high heel shoes or big earrings or, yeah, pins. Hats are her thing. And this is when John Boehner was speaker. And basically, they weren't...
Remember when John Boehner was our biggest problem?
Remember. The rule did not get changed. And she almost immediately dropped this fight. Mostly because she's like, this is just going to be a distraction.
Right.
Let me just get on with my job. Right. This isn't the hill I want to die on.
Right.
But again, they changed the rule for Omar... and any other Muslims or Jews who might want to wear a head covering, uh-huh, that's fine. But they didn't change the rule for her, for Wilson.
Yeah.
And again, it opens the door to how come some religions are allowed, but not all? Why not just get rid of the ban?
Yeah.
They didn't go far enough, in my opinion.
Right.
I did want to talk about the most interesting thing, I think, that happened to me over Thanksgiving break.
Okay.
So I told you this off mic, I think, a couple weeks ago, where I was coaching after school, as I often do, and, uh-huh, I got an email from
Fox News. Coach athletics?
I coach public speaking competitively, because,
okay, uh-huh, okay,
that's what cool people do.
Yeah.
I got an email several weeks ago saying, come join us on Fox News for a segment.
Oh, yeah.
And I got this email, and I was like, Laura Ingraham show. And I was like, it's
a trap.
I'm sure it was a trap. But again, I'm like, I can handle it.
Yeah, you're very brave. That's what I say about you all the time.
But I was in the middle of practice. So I got this email and it's been like 20 minutes. So I wrote back. I'm like, I'll do it if it's tonight, whatever.
Yeah, and you explained that, like, in your estimation, they like blast a bunch of people and whoever.
I'm sure they email a bunch of people
whoever answers first
yeah,
gets the gig.
So they wrote back immediately after I sent them, I'll do it. They wrote back and said, sorry, we've already booked someone. Mm-hmm. I'm like, all right. I don't know if I feel bad about that.
Right.
But I'm like, keep me in mind.
Might have dodged
whatever.
A bullet.
Might have dodged a bullet. Fine. So whatever. I thought that was the end of it. Wasn't a story. Moved on with my life. So over Thanksgiving break, I'm with my family, and I do get the same email.
Uh-huh.
And they're like, hey, do it in a couple days, like the day after Thanksgiving. And this time I got it as soon as they sent it.
Yeah.
Because what am I doing? Spending time with my family? No. I'm staring at the computer screen. So I'm like, all right. And then I was like, hey, family, if I'm gone for a little while, are you cool with that? Because, you know, better to ask
like, yeah,
for
get
forgiveness
the fuck
than permission.
Out.
Yeah. And they're like, all right, fine, whatever. You're not, do whatever you got to do. And they're like, all right, well, we'll get back in touch with you on Friday. They did. And to my surprise, I thought they would have said, hey, we're going to cancel the segment, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
They said, no, we're going to go on with it. Cool. They even said, I was in
was
Austin.
This when, yeah, I was going to say, you were in Texas,
I was
right?
in Texas. I'm like, look, I'm in Austin. Is that an issue? They're like, no, we got a place there. We'll set you up. It's fine. Okay.
Fox News has something of a stronghold in Texas. Don't you worry, Heaven.
Well, yeah, and it turned out to be like literally next door to the state Capitol building, because of course it would be. Why wouldn't it be?
It's a nice Capitol building, though.
Yes,
do they
it
still
is.
Have that Ten Commandments statue outside?
I took a picture outside of the Ten Commandments
cool.
statue outside of it. That was the one the Supreme Court said was legal because it was surrounded by other monuments.
I don't remember. I've been to that state Capitol. I do not remember the other monuments. Maybe that's just me.
They were not right next to it. They were kind of hidden away.
Oh, you don't say.
But they were
right?
there
I can't
at
believe
a distance.
That I'm so shocked.
I had to walk a little bit to see the other
sure.
ones. Anyway. Anyway, they said what we want to talk about in their email. They said what we want to talk about is a survey that just came out that I had written about.
Uh-huh.
It was from the Pew Research Center. And the question Pew had asked people is, what gives you meaning in life without any prompting?
Mm-hmm.
What gives you meaning in life? Number one answer, family.
Yeah.
Down the line. Didn't matter what religion you were or whatever. Everyone said family. Number four on the list at like 20%
uh-huh.
was faith.
Okay.
Was way lower, I think,
so wait,
than you might have expected.
I know work
on the
came
list.
Above it, and what was.
You know, I can't. I think career was on there, family was on there. And then, though, they asked the same question again to other people, this time with prompts, like which of these gives you meaning in life?
Oh, uh huh.
And they ran through the list. And of course, faith got a bigger bump now.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, among people who said faith meant something in their lives, that was the one thing that people said gave them the most meaning in life.
Okay.
When they were prompted to say it. But the bigger story was faith isn't as important to people as much as other stuff.
Right.
Right? And by the way, if you ask young people specifically in that survey, they really did not say faith was important in their lives. So this is the thing they said. We want to talk about that survey. It'll be a guest host. Laura Ingraham's on vacation. And by the way, we're going to also have Tony Perkins, who's the leader of the Family Research Council, which is a Christian hate group by the Southern Poverty Law Center. And I'm like, I've seen that guy before. All right. But okay.
Who's the host?
A guest host, Raymond Arroyo, who's subbed in for her before. He used to work at the Catholic channel, EWTN. Oh. So he worked for them. So I'm not worried about any of that. Tony Perkins, I'm like, I know how he works too. Mm-hmm. I know what he's probably going to say, whatever. So I said, fine, I'll talk about that survey. I think it's going to get canceled, the segment, but they said we're going to do it. And then, of course, between, hey, we're going to do it, and it'll be tonight, so you know, we'll send you details a little later. They also say, hey, here's some other topics we might want to ask you about.
Uh-oh.
Just so, I mean, as a courtesy heads up, we might also discuss this if we have time. And then they listed a couple different, like, transgender issues. Which, clearly, not my forte.
I was going to say, no offense, Hemet, you're not, like, my go-to person when it comes to trans issues.
Yeah, and so it's like, I'm not going to suddenly say, well, I shouldn't be the one to talk to you, because I hate it when people are like, well, I'm not the expert in this field, so don't talk. No, a friend of mine was an atheist, was asked to do a similar thing. And she said, hey, I got this email. Should I do it? And my response is, why would you say no? You know what you're talking about. Of course you should say yes. And she's like, well, I'm not really an expert. I'm not an academic in this field.
Neither are they. That doesn't stop them.
And I wrote back, I'm like, look, most people will never get this chance. And it pisses me off that a really smart woman, like, is saying no to these people who asked you to do it. You should absolutely do it. And she did it, and she was great. And so I'm like, okay, I'll talk about it. But I'm like, oh, of course they're pivoting now. They don't want to talk about the Pew Research thing. They want to talk about the transgender thing. So I did call a couple of friends who know about these issues really well. I ran it by them. Like, really, what I asked them is, what I think I know what I want to say about them. I have an opinion on these issues, but do you know of any quick, short way to respond? And, well, like, one of the segments they wanted to talk about is, like, the Trump administration said we have to define what sex you are or what gender you are based solely on your genitalia at birth and not by anything else. They were defining trans out of existence, basically. And there was another story about how a college, I think in Michigan, a college group said, you know what, we always perform the vagina monologues. We're not going to do it this year because not all women have vaginas. And so Fox, that's Fox fodder for them, right?
Because they really care about the vagina monologues.
So I was like, I don't really know the right thing to say, even though I think I know what I would say. And the cool thing is they gave really good feedback, my friends, to me. Like, if they asked you, here's some stuff you should say. So I go to the studio, like, at the risk of sounding arrogant. I've done this, like, once before to talk about an issue on Fox, and I've done it once to talk about an issue on CNN. And here's the difference. When I went to the Fox studio before and this time, they didn't just have a dude working the camera and the tech equipment. They had a dude doing that and someone else doing the makeup.
Oh.
They hired a makeup lady just for me.
And I bet they definitely had your skin color because a lot of non-whites go on that show.
The first time I did the Fox thing, they caked me up. Like, it's on YouTube and, like, I look really, really white caked up.
Oh, my God.
This time I will say, like, she did a fine job. Like, it was fine. It wasn't, like, whatever color difference or whatever. But I find that CNN, no makeup person. They just have a tech guy.
Okay.
That was interesting.
Interesting.
Yeah. And then, as I'm getting the makeup done, by the way, she was lovely, but I was asking her, I'm like trying to make small talk.
Quick pause.
Yeah.
I was trying to look up your YouTube thing for, I wanted to see your face from the last time. When you Google Hemant Mehta, the first thing is Hemant Mehta wife.
Okay.
Are a lot of people Googling your wife, you think?
I don't know. That's creepy.
It is creepy. Then Friendly Atheist, then YouTube. No podcast, no co-host.
Yeah.
That's fine. I'm not mad about it. I'm just disappointed. Go ahead. Continue.
So the other thing they said, I was trying to make small talk while she's doing the makeup. And of course, I'm genuinely curious because you're right next to the state Capitol building. It's like, oh yeah, like you must get a ton of politicians in this like studio. Because it's just, they rented out like one room in a building that has a satellite connection.
Oh, you looked good.
Thank you. That's the recent
one. Yeah.
I was going to say.
She did a good job on your makeup. I'm trying to find the old one.
Yeah. Look at the old one and look at how white I've become in that segment.
Go ahead.
But she's the one thing that I found amusing. She was like, none of them wanted to get into politics with me.
Right.
So we're not talking about, we're carefully avoiding
it. Right. Tap dancing around that.
Totally tap dancing around because like they know they're Fox News.
Uh-huh.
I know I'm the opposition coming to Fox News.
You're the bad guy.
So we totally just strayed from that topic. But I did find out that she had done the makeup for Rick Perry many, many times. And very nice guy, she says, when they're doing the makeup stuff. And also, he is very handsome.
Whoa.
Yes, the things you learn.
Hey, Hammett, is he?
I don't know.
I'm so blinded by what a dweeb he is that I forgot that he has, like, a face that could be attractive to humans.
But I realize, like, no, because if you are just there to do the makeup for them, you don't have to necessarily care about the politics, per se.
Right.
Not saying she does or doesn't, but I'm just like, that is not what I expected to hear. I was expecting to hear, yeah, we've had a lot of these politicians come through and some of them bring their own. I don't know what they were going to say.
I can't find any pictures of you from last time.
Good. Anyway, so we did the segment. I don't know if it went well. This is the hard thing where we did talk about the Pew study and they did pivot to the transgender issues.
How did they do that?
They basically said, okay, enough of the thing. And by the way, while we have you guys here, we want to bring up one other story about the Trump administration.
Like they pretended that it just came up. They were definitely like...
They had it on their list of stuff to talk about. I don't know how it went. I'm a bad judge of how did I do. I don't know if I did well.
That's weird because you're literal judge for speech. Yeah. How could you not know?
Because I'm not judging myself.
Stupid.
But the thing is, like, I don't know if... I had three sentences, I think, that I was able to get off before they...
What were they?
I don't know. I was in a blur. You
can
watch the
video. You knew the number of them.
I knew the number because I'm like, I'm only going to get a couple seconds to talk.
Right.
And I don't know what the question's going to be. I just know it's about this topic. And so I was actually surprised Tony Perkins said, after he said, no, the fact that faith is low on the list is not a problem, but it is a little troubling. I was actually surprised he kind of made that reference. Like, yeah, it's a little troubling.
Yeah.
So that threw me off for a little bit. But the fact that they brought it up, and I don't know. You can see the segment. We'll post a link.
Okay.
You can tell me how I did, whatever. But yeah, that was a surprise thing I did not expect. It was interesting. Again, they're always fine. Like the people that are in the studio and stuff, they're totally nice. They're professional. And then that was it. Like, I just stare into a black void while the segment's going on, and I just have an earpiece, so I don't know what I'm looking at. I don't know.
There's no monitor?
There is a monitor, but it's on a time lag by a few seconds.
Oh, so it's worse.
I don't think it's on purpose, but it's just the recording, the nature of how satellites work. So they don't want a monitor on because it'll mess me up. So they turned off the monitor when we were on. All I remember is the earpiece came on and they said something about Charlie Brown is racist. All right, we'll be back after this.
So this did come. So my we did Thanksgiving on Friday with my family. We went to my husband's place on Thanksgiving Day. And so both Mikey and I like saw on Facebook or Twitter or whatever at the same time that you're going to be on Fox News. And we're like, Hammett's going to be on Fox News. Can we watch Fox News tonight? And my dad's like, A, no. B, John Blumke really needs to know if you got paid to be on Fox News.
No. Nope. The only people who get paid as guests to appear are the people who have contracts. When they say, this person is an MSNBC contributor.
Oh.
Everyone else, they just say, could you do it? I actually saw, unrelated to me, I saw a tweet from somebody who is maybe a climate change expert who said, I was asked to be on CNN to talk about the climate change report that just came out.
Uh-huh.
And I had it was pre-taped, her segment. And she said, we had a long conversation, me and Anderson Cooper, and whatever happened, they didn't air any of it.
Uh-huh.
But she gave up a lot of her time to do that segment. She said she's done this before where they said, we're going to have a live spot, show up at this time and place, which again, it was easy for me because I had the babysitting and it was Thanksgiving holidays. I didn't have anything else going on. But for someone who was giving up what she was doing in order to make it there, and then they were like, oh, we're not going to do this. Something else came up. Thanks for coming. Bye. She doesn't get anything for that.
Yeah.
She just wasted time.
Right.
And she was just kind of venting on Twitter. But, like, I kind of understand where she's coming from.
Yeah.
I've never had the situation where I've spoken or I went through the motions and then they canceled on me.
Mm-hmm.
The one other time it happened, I forgot if I told you this and I forgot if I've said it on the podcast. One time I did a Fox News thing where they said, we want you to be on to talk about some school-related issue about church-state separation.
Okay.
But before we do it, can you Skype with one of our producers so we have an idea of what we're going to talk about?
Yeah.
They asked some questions. I answered them. And my response, without getting into the actual issue at hand, was like, I don't think this is like the biggest deal in the world, but this is kind of my perspective on this.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, okay. Then like an hour later, here's the email. Yeah, we're not going to do this segment, or we don't need you tonight. Thanks for your time. We're not, whatever.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, all right. But then they did air the segment. They just brought on another atheist.
An angrier atheist.
They brought on an angrier atheist.
That's
and
right.
And I watched them like, that person, I know that person. I'm like, uh-huh. I like that person, but I know what they also did.
Well, you're going to be a boring interview. Jesus, Hemant.
I know. So anyway.
Cool.
Anyway.
How long have we been going?
Way too long.
Okay.
I had one other thing, but bring up anything else you want.
I have
a happier story for you after.
Yeah, I have a happy story too. I was going to talk about the State Department has ordered diplomats to scale back supports for women's sexual and reproductive health programs and education around the world, but Hemant.
Yes.
I just don't have it in me right now. Y'all can do your own research if you want to learn about that. Here's the thing.
Yes.
There is a church in the Netherlands.
Yes.
That has been holding, and as far as I know, still are, an 800-hour straight service.
They're going 24/7.
Mm-hmm. To protect a family from deportation. So they've been basically maintaining this service because in Dutch law, there is, under Dutch law, police officers are not permitted to enter a church while a religious service is taking place. So for more than a month, hundreds of pastors and volunteers from across the country have been meeting to maintain 24/7 service in support of an Armenian family whose asylum claim has been
rejected. It's a church using a loophole to protect a family seeking asylum.
Yeah.
That's the way to do it. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's a very nice story, and I like to, you know, we dunk on religion a lot on this show, so I just wanted to kind of...
By the way, there is a U.S. church that has done the same thing. Now, we don't have the law about police can't enter during worship services, but some churches are hiding refugees, or they're sheltering them and making sure they're okay and they have what they need. Because that might be a safe space and one of the only safe spaces those families have.
Right.
So kudos to those churches for using their power and their faith to protect those people. What's sad is how many white evangelical Christians have the ability to do that sort of thing, but never would do that sort of thing ever. I have one last story for you, which put a smile on my face. It has to do with an Australian magazine that is all about weddings. Like, if you've ever been married, then you've probably gotten, like, all those magazines. It's like, here's what brides do, or, like, you know, here's what you should do for your wedding.
Here are some dresses.
It's like college applications all over again, where you just get all this mail you never asked for, but they know how to find you. So this magazine called White.
Okay.
Yeah, all right, because I guess that's what you wear. All right, it started by a couple named Luke and Carla Burrell. Husband and wife team, they started the magazine, and whatever, it's you would never know who created it or anything about them just by looking through the pages, because it's just, what do you wear? What should you know heading into the big day? What are the latest trends? Cool, fine. They hire photographers to do, you know, awesome pictures for them, too. It's been going on for a few years, but one of the photographers they worked with posted something online a couple years ago, basically saying she was going to take a picture of a same-sex couple doing whatever the latest trend was.
Getting married.
Getting married and doing something along the lines. And the Christian couple in charge said, we can't put that in our magazine. We are Christians.
Really?
That goes against our beliefs.
Cool.
And so we don't want that picture included in the mix.
Mm-hmm.
And that photographer basically... the photographer is in a same-sex relationship herself. Which again wasn't a problem. She was just a hired hand.
Right.
But when she found out about them and that the couple had no desire to have these people in their magazine, she's like, well, that should be public knowledge.
Yeah.
And she made it so. Like, people realize that if you advertise in White, you are supporting a publication that basically says we don't want anything to do with gay couples.
Right.
We don't believe gay people can get married, whatever. And then advertisers fled.
Really?
They got the hell out of there.
That's awesome.
And to the point where this couple just announced recently that they're going out of business.
Wow.
And what they said is, White Magazine has always been a secular publication, but its publishers, we are Christian. We have no agenda but to love. We have no desire to create a social, political, or legal war. Uh-huh. Blah, blah, blah. To us, our faith is anchored in love without judgment. And then they added, some have just blindly demanded that we pick a side. We're not about sides. We're about love, patience, and kindness.
They're the worst. I hate those people.
Those people who cloak like bigotry in love.
So they're going out of business?
So they're going out of business.
Good. Fucking see and never, dickbags.
Uh-huh. Again, when pick a side. The sides are treating people as human beings or not.
Or just not.
And they're like, it's like the white supremacy stuff. Like,
right.
Well, there are two sides to this. No, there's one good side and one bad side.
One white supremacist side.
Like, you don't have to pick between two decent options.
Right.
And by the way, no one's saying they don't have a right to have their beliefs. Uh-huh. They're just saying we don't have to support magazine.
If this is
what you preach.
I am not a pro-capitalism gal by any stretch, but like that's how it should work. Like, yeah, you can say whatever you want, but like no one's going to give you money, my dude.
Yeah, no advertiser is forced to give you money to advertise. My favorite part about this is that when they posted on Facebook on White Magazine's social media, we've written a statement and shared a bit of our story with a nice video that's like, this is what happened to us. Ugh. Can you believe that? Like, no one was buying their shit. No one felt bad for them. They're all like, yeah, what did you expect? You guys are horrible people.
Yeah.
And by the way, I'm not the first person to say this. People have made this argument that if you want to be a Christian baker and you're not going to serve gay couples for whatever, you know, religious hate reason, we can have a conversation about whether that should be legal or not.
Right.
But at the very least, you should put a sign on your door.
Yeah.
That
let me know
says,
who I'm supporting.
Yeah. Let me know as a straight guy which businesses I want to frequent. Because if you're a bigot, I would be happy not to give you my business and go to a different thing. Just have a no gays allowed sign in your door.
Yeah.
If that's
like, let's
legal.
Let's not beat around the bush.
Yeah. Don't wait till we're a gay couple who comes in to get a cake and then say, oh, I'm sorry, we don't serve your kind.
Right. Ugh,
just
gross.
Put your no Jews allowed, no black people allowed signs.
Irish let everyone, need not apply.
Yeah. And let everyone else be the judge. That's what happened to this couple. Mm-hmm. And then everyone fled. And this couple's like, we're the victims in all this.
Yeah, they are, Hammond. It's a tragic story. So. I look forward to seeing their Lifetime movie. so we got a bunch of emails this week, nothing really actionable vis-a-vis listener mail, but I wanted to thank Sam Ward, Amanda, Courtney, Armin M., and Sarah. They all wrote us some nice emails over the holiday break. One person noticed I wasn't on the last episode and tweeted about it. I was really expecting a revolt or an uprising.
Yes.
Nobody gave a fuck I wasn't there. It's fine, guys. Oh, Hemet, when am I going to crawl out of your shadow?
One day.
So I am going to be in California in January.
Sweet.
The week of the 21st. So I don't really have any firm plans, but I don't know if I'm...
Which part of
this.
California?
Oh, is California a big state?
Uh-huh.
I'm going to be in Pasadena and the greater LA area. Maybe I'll see if anybody wants to do a meetup, because I don't know if I mentioned this, my husband's going on a business trip, and I was like, yes, I will come. Thank you for not inviting me, but flights are pretty cheap in January to LA. So I really have nothing to do. So I'm bringing my recording equipment, going to get some, I have a couple of interviews I'm fucking beyond stoked to get. But I don't know. I literally have no plans and my husband's going to be busy. So maybe we'll do a meetup. It would have to be during the week. I don't know. Who fucking knows?
We'll figure something out and then post it somewhere so people can sign up.
I'm very intimidated by LA. Everyone's very good looking out there. So I don't know if I want to meet anyone.
That's what you do.
Anyway, any happy shit going on in your life?
I'm glad the break is over. I'm glad I'm back into switch
really?
Mode.
What the fuck are you? What?
It's weird to have days where I'm not constantly, I feel very fidgety if I'm not doing something.
I've never related to anything less.
And now I'm like, oh good, this was a normal week where just stuff is happening.
Yeah.
So good, I feel like I'm doing something.
Yeah, well, I guess because you don't work a 9-to-5,
yeah.
So yeah, you do need
some
kind of
routine. So when it's
holidays,
it's there's not even a ton of news per se, so it's a slow going day.
Yeah.
It's And the kids are out of the house.
Oh, again. God, you're such a loving father.
Yes.
Should write a parenting book. I am going...
parenting book. Don't.
Don't.
I'm done. Give me my money.
I am going to see The Dollop, which is one of my favorite podcasts. They're in Chicago live.
Oh, look at that.
Tomorrow, so Saturday the 1st. I'm very stoked to go with my brother. We do, instead of like buying each other Christmas gifts, we always just like get tickets to the thing we both want to go to and do that together because...
That is awesome.
We both deeply hate Christmas shopping. Oh, I'm fucking done with my Christmas shopping, Hammett.
What?
I was done by Thanksgiving Day.
Listen, when you don't have friends, you're always done with Christmas shopping. If you have I can family? Tell you from experience, they'll get a handshake.
You're such a weirdo. No wonder you don't have friends.
Yeah, this is
oh,
true.
Are we going to exchange presents, Hammett?
Sure.
Like, we're not, are we?
I'll work on it.
Jesus. We should send out Christmas cards.
Yes.
Okay, see you next week, guys. Oh, wait, where can I find you on Twitter?
Oh, right. I'm at Hammett Matt on Twitter. Go to patreon.com/friendlyatheistpodcast.
I'm at Blueberry, BLUEBURIE. My Etsy shop is Bitches Get Stitched Done. I did a really good job of heading off the Christmas rush, and I did it so well that if anybody wants to order some shit...
Do it now.
You can do it now. I'm not going to cut off shipping. I actually got all my orders out already.
Look at you.
Yeah, I know. Anyway... I'm going to go take a nap. Bye, guys.
Good night. Bye.